The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For details.
From the Jet Bros Barbecue Studios, now featuring CBD-infused seltzer to get happy, legal for 18 and up. This is Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. For 75 years, NCMIC has been doing the right thing for its customers, employees, and the community. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Condon, from one Winnipegger to another. Thank you, Neil. Mm-hmm. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we are mining the sporting news talent today,
yes,
are we not?
We are.
Kyle Irving's going to join us on the NBA right now. Bill Bender covers college football for the sporting news. He joins us. Bill, Trent, and Ken, as always, thank you for doing this. Bill, how are things?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thank you.
Which media days are you going to? Have you got a roadmap yet as to how you're going to attack July?
Oh, pretty sure I'll be a Big Ten. My son actually has a lacrosse tournament sandwich in there that I'm going to, so I may miss one of them. But Big Ten's late enough that I know that easy jump to Indianapolis is going to happen. We'll see on SEC.
Well, Bill, I knew I wanted to have you on. We haven't had a college football conversation in a while, so I went to your Twitter feed just to see what you'd been up to. And pinned at the top was a piece that I never read. And when I first saw it, I thought, wow, this is current. And it has to do with LeBron James' last high school football game, which I read the article, and it was really well done. But I think it was probably the time of year that it came out, right? It was around Michigan, Ohio State. It was in the, you know, leading up to the final week of the regular season in college football. When you wrote the piece, when it was coming together, what were some of the things that either you didn't remember or certainly as you were writing it, made you maybe sit back in your chair a little bit?
Well, we did that last year, and so it's a legend around here where I'm from. So Licking Valley, a program that's like 20 minutes down the road, and it's one of those Friday night-like programs like Permian or anything else, one of those towns that lives football, they played LeBron in the high school playoffs. And, I mean, we went back. I got the tape. I went back and got the tape from the coach and watched it. And, I mean, LeBron was everything you would expect on a football field. And but Licking Valley won the game. And it was a really fun story to put together. One of those things that everybody has that story where they're like, I played against this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And these kids 20 years later get to say, I played against LeBron James.
Yeah, pretty good one, I'll say.
Pretty good one.
You know, a lot of people, Bill, sorry to jump in, Trent. In fact, I heard it again this week that, you know, there was a question, pick a star in his sport that could play a different sport at a high level. And, of course, LeBron James is one of those first that comes off people's lips as a tight end. Ohio State apparently is where he would have gone, correct? How close was he, or if at all, Bill, to pursuing football?
I mean, he could have played. He was an all-Ohio receiver. I mean, the comparison that gets made, even if it's not perfect, is it's a little bit like Randy Moss in terms of Randy Moss played basketball. And I saw Randy Moss play high school basketball. And had he stuck with basketball, he would have been a good NBA player. So it works in that way, is that no, LeBron James wouldn't have been Randy Moss, but he would have been a very good NFL tight end or receiver. There's no way. I mean, with that size, physicality, and high point in the football, he would have been pretty good. But, you know, like I said, Randy Moss might not have been LeBron James playing basketball, but I think had he stuck with it, yeah, he probably could have played in the NBA.
Must be nice to have that kind of talent.
Really?
Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Bill, an announcement yesterday that, not a shock by any means, we've seen this game bounce around. We're looking forward to the beginning of the football season, but of course it ends with Army Navy. The pageantry, the pomp and circumstance, the old school offenses. It's an entertaining game for me each and every year, but they're going to be bouncing around. It'll be in Foxborough in 2023, Landover, Maryland, Baltimore again, back to East Rutherford, Philadelphia. They bounced this around a little bit, but it's such an important game. So good here. What do you think is behind this, though, getting a few more cities involved with the Army-Navy game?
Just spreading it out a little bit. I always heard the games at the, and I've never been to one, sadly. I always watch that game, but always heard the ones at the old Vet were fun in Philly. So they're getting other parts of the country involved, and I think that's kind of cool. It's a very good, it's a fun game. I know, it's one of those things, it's a tradition. It also signifies the end of the college football season, which is often depressing. But
yes,
I love watching it. I'm glad they're getting other places involved like that. I think it'll be a good thing.
Bill, who's as you've started to do your homework and delve into all the preseason stuff that'll be coming out, et cetera, and I'm sure that's keeping you very busy at this particular time here in the middle of June. Have you identified a team or two? Of course, we're in a betting market here, and some of us like to play these futures. Have you got a team, or not a sleeper to win a national championship, perhaps, but a team that might be better than some people at first glance will give them credit for?
I think Notre Dame's going to be really good. And obviously, there's a lot of hype generated around the Ohio State game where they're 2-touchdown underdogs. And there was a back and forth with Freeman. Now, do I think they're going to win the game? Probably not. But do I think they could compete with Ohio State? Yes. With that roster, with the talent on offense, with Ohio State breaking in a new defense. And, it's Notre Dame. So even if they lose that game, if you look at the back half of their schedule, if they could beat a Clemson and a USC and they play BYU in Vegas. That's another weird one.
Wow.
But, yeah, I think their schedule is strong enough that they could maybe make a playoff run. They're certainly not under-ranked or underrated. I just think they're a touch undervalued, if that makes sense, because nobody really mentions them as a potential playoff team.
Bill, big news in your neck of the woods, and that is a car. Yes, Lloyd Carr's grandson.
Yeah, how about that?
Who had an offer from Michigan. They were all hands on deck, and yet he has spurned them to go to Notre Dame. We know about that rivalry. It's not a blood rivalry by any means. I think a mutual respect with both of those programs. But to see Lloyd Carr's grandson say no thanks to the winged helmets and go to Notre Dame, boy, that had to be a stinger for Harbaugh and certainly the Michigan fan base.
Yeah, and he's also a local guy. He played in, right in the backyard in Saline. So I think they've got very interesting thing going on with that. Now, Notre Dame, here's the thing. Mark Freeman's recruiting awesome. 7 recruits they've landed since the spring game, 4 stars or more. And that's the big question is you always get asked, right? That can Notre Dame recruit like a national champion? And I think they can recruit at the Clemson, Oklahoma level, no question. But the 3 programs that recruit better than everybody else are who? Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State. Can Notre Dame with Freeman recruit like that? And the early answer is kind of. I mean, he's got the top recruiting class going into next year.
Bill, Lincoln Riley seemingly is stealing all of the headlines out in L.A., right, if there are college football headlines at this type of year. I think Chip Kelly's got to like that, right? I mean, his team put together a solid season last year that seemingly all the buzz is on USC. What about UCLA?
They got Dorian Thompson-Robinson back as we speak. Before I came on, I'm putting the finishing touches on our top 25 quarterbacks for next year. That's in one of those other annual lists we do. And DTR will be on there. And like you said, Lincoln Riley getting all the headlines, it could lead to a very fun game. That said, I don't think UCLA by any means is overachieved. They got the win against LSU last year, but they've been very inconsistent week to week for years now. And I think that's the big thing Chip Kelly's going to have to break through. It's crazy to me that Dorian Thompson-Robinson's been his quarterback the entire time, and now he has him back for a fifth year.
That is wild. Yeah,
Realize that. He can be really, really good. Hey, yep. A team that was rumored maybe to end up ultimately in the Pac-12, BYU. Didn't happen. They're going to be a Big 12 member after this final season as an independent. The schedule's difficult. Mentioned Notre Dame. They get them in Vegas this year. I wonder who's going to have more fans, Notre Dame or BYU. Mm. Bill, you certainly know the way they travel to Vegas for that one. But they have the second most returning production coming back this year. They won 10 games last year after losing a ton of talent the year previous. BYU, a year before they go to the Big 12, could you see maybe an eye-opening experience here and they come in with a lot of buzz to 2023 after another good season?
Well, I mean, and I'm a Catholic, obviously, so the last thing I think about when I think of a game between BYU and Notre Dame is, yeah, that one's in Vegas. that was peculiar scheduling there. But, you know, it's good for both teams, and BYU's got a good quarterback in Jaren Hall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're surprised, like you said, Trent, their success the last couple seasons, whether it was with Zach Wilson or last year, and their ability to beat Power 5 opponents, it's kind of gone swept under the rug a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So I think they're going to be a pretty good team and maybe one of those sleeper teams as the season evolves.
So since you are putting the finishing touches on that top 25 quarterbacks, I mean, Big Ten's got a couple represented for sure, right? I mean, Stroud's got to be on it. Aiden O'Connell maybe sneaks in, I would think. Who from the Big Ten, who from the Big 12?
Yeah, those are the two. Aiden O'Connell, didn't realize, but look back, man, that guy had a couple 500-yard games to end the year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
we all know Purdue can be dangerous when they've got a quarterback that can do that. I mean, Stroud will be ranked high. Talia.
There's another one, yeah.
Talia and Cade McNamara are kind of on the fringe there, McNamara being that we don't know if he's going to win the job. And then from the Big 12 standpoint, you look at, I mean, obviously, Dylan Gabriel to me is one of the most interesting transfers. Again, under the radar, but he goes to Oklahoma, has a loaded supporting cast. You look at his career numbers at UCF, they're pretty good. So I think Dylan Gabriel could have a monster year for the Sooners this year.
If you were making, instead of a top 25 list, a top 100 list, would Spencer Petras make the cut?
No, why are you doing that?
Oh, I mean, yes.
Are you sure?
100. Yes. Come on now. He won a lot of games, but It's hard. I mean, I'll tell you this. Like, I got 25, and I've been stressing. I texted back and forth with my editor. I'm like, I've got to leave this guy off. And then, yeah, because that 20 to say 40, one thing that struck me, so I looked at last year's list. I had 9 guys from last year's list that returned to school, and they're not on this year's list.
Wow.
And a lot of them transferred, and things didn't work out. So part of it is I did a bad job, and part of it is those guys didn't produce like they were supposed to and ended up transferring. It's a really peculiar trend.
Bill Bender from the Sporting News. When will that be out, Bill? I'm guessing there'll be a number of those coming out here in the weeks ahead. What do you got planned? What have you got planned for from now until, you know, media days, if you will?
Well, I mean, we'll have all that kind of stuff out. We've got our coaches out now, what bowl projections, our SNL American team, and few other things. I mean, and we, like everybody else, are kind of waiting and seeing what Arch Manning decides.
Right.
I mean, that's the kind of the next big piece of news that'll come out here this summer.
And he's in Austin this weekend, apparently, correct?
Yeah. So, if I mean, it happens this weekend, I think it'll be sometime within the next 2 weeks. But, you know, it's kind of wild that Texas gets the last word there.
How about that? Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Bill, thank you. Appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. Thanks.
Good to hear from you. Bill Bender, as we catch up with our buddy from the Sporting News. Yeah, Arch Manning's in Austin this weekend.
Where's he going to end up?
He's not there.
You think so?
I do. Georgia? It seems like it's Georgia and Texas, seemingly.
Alabama's still hanging around.
Yeah. They just signed a kid. They're a five-star.
And yes, they've been looking at other places, too. Maybe they saw the writing on the wall there. Because a lot of people think like you. It's a two-team race right now. It's Georgia and Texas for his services.
And if he does go to Texas, will he play Iowa State?
I would have said no, certainly 11 months ago.
I'm leaning no. With the news that came out that the AAC schools will be here, well, it's not this time next year, it's July the 1st, I think. So,
well, for the 2023 season.
Right. I think that speeds up the process. I do. I think it's better for both. Yeah, we'll let you go. We won't ask for the moon like we were last year.
Not $180 million.
Yeah.
$100 million?
You know what? give us 90. We're good.
You got to make up the difference, though, because those rights are going to change.
Uh-huh.
Without Texas and Oklahoma, the rights that you're going to get from TV is going to change. So there's got to be a check. And it sounds like...
I'd say I don't think the drop-off is going to be as bad as some feared in the beginning.
Absolutely.
Because I thought Bowlesby did a great job.
He did.
And I mean, the best job he could have.
With what was out there.
Uh-huh. Who did he miss? I mean, if...
Memphis, maybe? Yeah. I mean, that's more of a basketball one. It's been an okay football program. They've had some good teams and seasons, but maybe them, San Diego State. Then you're going four time zones as opposed to the three that they're currently going to be. I guess that would be another one. Boise, you know, has always been long rumored. Those would be a few others. But what they did with these four, as good as can be. Absolutely. How about this, though? There's talk of when they, let's just take Texas and Oklahoma out of this, but having a protected rival.
Mm-hmm.
Who would Iowa State's protected rival for football be? If it was just one, Kansas and Kansas State are together.
Right.
TCU and Baylor are going to be together.
You know, it's so what, who do they pair with West Virginia?
Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's going to be BYU.
It's going to be BYU.
It's going to be BYU. And that's why I started to do a little bit more BYU research. Just, I thought they were going to take a huge step back last year. Mm-hmm. The schedule they played in 2020 was a joke. They had to put it together because of, obviously, conference-only schedules.
Well, the Coastal Carolina thing came up within like a week's notice, right?
Which was awesome.
It was great.
That they were able to do that, but... You just looked at it as a whole. All right, they had a nice season with an NFL quarterback, but and they lost a ton.
Is he?
And they won 10-2.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I hope he is.
I give him a shot.
I hope he is.
They go 10-2 last year, and now they return basically everybody from that team. I think it was 88% of their defensive statistics and 91% of offense, or vice versa. Just huge numbers coming back this year. And we know they got programmed that guys go on missionaries. They come back. They're fully formed men. They're 24, 25, 26 years old. They have been a very good program for a long time. And now with this, and now having...
Who's Oklahoma State's?
Maybe that would be the one. But then what do you do with BYU? I mean, do you make Oklahoma State and Texas Tech? Oklahoma State and Houston? And who's Central Florida's?
That's the other thing. TCU and Baylor, I would think, would get together, right?
I think that's an automatic two.
Uh-huh.
That's a huge rivalry. Mm-hmm. Two private schools. That one makes a whole lot of sense.
It does.
You know, did he put Houston and UCF together, and then he got Texas Tech, Oklahoma State? Maybe. But at least you keep the Big Eight together if you go Oklahoma State, Iowa
State.
That's
kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
We will take a timeout, come back, and, well, preview game number six tonight. Boston is the scene. 8 o'clock tip tonight? Is it 8?
Yes, yeah.
8 o'clock ABC has it.
8:12.
8:12 to be exact, right. All right, we will talk... Game 6, Golden State. Do they clinch tonight? Kyle Irving will join us from the Sporting News. We'll pick his brain on that. Miller and Condon on a Thursday. It's Des Moines Sports Station 106.3.
Baseball Life.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com.
Victory Mounds is your ace when it comes to premium baseball and softball products and services. Utilizing our vast game and industry expertise, we sell portable pitching mounds, field equipment, and field products that we trust, use, and have used when coaching or playing. But that's not all. Victory Mounds Field Consulting Services can help you improve the quality and playability of your field. Craig Allison has years of experience in the mound business and is Victory Mounds National Sales Executive, while Mike Donahoe is in charge of field equipment and products. Visit VictoryMounds.com to see what Victory Mounds can do for you and Yorkshin.net.
The Grumpy Goat Tavern provides a comfortable atmosphere with reclaimed barnwood, sleek modern finishes, and a one-of-a-kind environment that you have to see to believe. Featuring a fresh menu, friendly neighborhood service, 50 tap beers, and sports. The Grumpy Goat Tavern is the place to be for any occasion. Catch all of the games all summer long at the Grumpy Goat Tavern with two locations in West Des Moines and one on First Street in Ankeny. Grumpy Goat is more than just a restaurant. It's local. It's for you. It's your tavern.
You get your podcast.
Wolf Construction and Wolf Roofing
are currently hiring.
What makes Wolf Construction a better place to work is that when we think about developing the whole person is important, whether that person is a new carpenter laborer on a job site or that person's a project accountant that works in the office, it doesn't matter who. It becomes more than just a job where a company show up to. It becomes part of the Wolf family.
Competitive pay, excellent benefits, and a $1,000 sign-on bonus. Apply today at wolfconstruct.org
to register.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back. Trent's Play of the Day, Circus Sports. That comes up in about 20 minutes or thereabouts as we take you up until just before noon. Well, Boston is the scene of game number 6. That's where we'll find our next guest. He'll be in the TD Bank tonight. Kyle Irving joins us from the Sporting News. You're a California guy, aren't you, Kyle? So you went across the country for this bad boy.
Well, actually, no. I'm from Boston originally. I live in California right now. So I'm actually back home. I've been staying at my parents' house while the finals are in Boston.
Gotcha. Well, glad you're there and glad you're on site for this one. I think we're going to see another game. I know that the ticket prices collapsed. You know, there are a lot of folks, a lot of Celtics fans bought tickets assuming that, well, Boston will win on Monday night and then they'll win the championship back in front of the home crowd tonight. Not going to be the case, obviously. Ticket prices collapsed. So let's go back to last Monday before we take a look at tonight. What went wrong for the Celtics in your mind? Too much Andrew Wiggins? Can you, you know, kind of pinpoint where it got off course for the Celts?
I mean, how incredible has Andrew Wiggins been
gosh.
For the Warriors? I can't believe, you know, I feel like it wasn't a glaring weakness in the past because they had guys like Andre Iguodala. They had other athletes out there that kind of surrounded Steph, Clay, and Draymond who aren't, you know, the most athletic players. But, you know, the verticality and athleticism that Andrew Wiggins provided to be able to keep up with the athleticism that the Celtics have, I don't know if I would have seen that being as big of a factor as it has been in this final so far. But, you know, when you talk about what's going wrong with the Celtics, all signs point to the offense. The offense has gone completely stagnant. In the fourth quarter, everybody ran out of gas. They're turning the ball over too much. The Warriors are doing a good job creating points off turnovers. And really, to me, that's been the story of the finals. I mean, as great as Steph Curry's been, you know, we saw arguably the best performance or most impactful performance of his career in game 4 to keep the Warriors alive and tie that thing up 2-2. And, you know, even though he had one of his worst games of his playoff career last game, it just didn't matter because the Celtics couldn't get anything going offensively. They're turning the ball over too much. They're getting a little too careless. The offense isn't doing anything in the fourth quarter. And obviously credit goes to the Warriors defense as well. And Andrew Wiggins specifically, who has done an incredible job of containing Jason Tatum.
So Jason Tatum struggled in the fourth quarter again. He has struggled inside of the three-point line in this series, shooting just 30% from that spot. When you look at his game, he looked very tired in the fourth quarter, and they had the great run in the beginning of the third. Udoka made the decision, we're going to run these guys. We're going to go out there. We're going to play with our best. We're not going to use the bench here. In hindsight, was that a bad decision, and how much do you believe of the best bench Boston's going to need this evening to pull off a win?
I think the biggest thing, Jason Tatum, as bad as he had been, you know, in some of the previous games, he really was the catalyst of that third quarter run that the Celtics made. But, you know, like we've seen all over and over and over again in basketball, when you get down that big and you use all that energy to make a comeback, once you finally get over the hump, and even if you take the lead like Boston did, it's tough to close out because you expend so much energy making that comeback. And, I mean, Ime Udoka didn't sit Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum the entire second half until garbage time when the bench players came in. So I think, you know, that's kind of an area where you realize that, you know, Jason Tatum had brought him all the way back in the game in the third quarter. But at the end of that third quarter, you need to trust your bench. You have to go to your bench to give him even just 3 minutes, you know, of a breather going into the fourth quarter, just to let him get his win back under him. And then you might not have seen him, you know, have the offer like he did in the fourth quarter. So I think he does have to trust the bench a little bit more. But at the end of the day, I mean, this is it. You're back against the wall. If you lose tonight, you're going home. You're going to have all summer to rest. So I really do think that, you know, last game would have been the game where he needs to trust the bench a little bit more, where tonight he really just needs Jalen, Jason, and Marcus Smart in particular to be ready to play all 48 minutes if they have to, even though that won't be the case.
I'm not saying that Al Horford needs to play as many minutes as you just said, but you know what it is? I mean, he's got these kind of games in him, right? Go back to game number one. We have 28 or something like that. He was terrific in that game. And he's had, you know, spurts throughout the playoffs where he, you know, Father Time takes the night off and Al Horford looks like a young, or somewhat, relatively speaking, a guy again. But when Horford's on, this team's obviously a different team. Does he need to have one of those playoff performances for them to get back to Golden State?
I think Al Horford is a good candidate to have one of those playoff performances because we saw that in Game 7 against the Milwaukee Bucks. But I think at the end of the day, it doesn't necessarily have to be Horford. It just has to be one of those guys. Can it be Horford? Can it be Robert Williams? Can it be Marcus Smart? Can it be Derek White? Who's going to be the guy that's going to step up and give Jalen and Jason help? And, you know, I mean, Jaylen Brown really had one of his worst games of the entire playoffs last game, and it just timed out poorly because Jason finally played well. But I really do think that the X factor more than Jalen and Jason is, like you said, guys like Al Horford stepping up. Or, you know, can Marcus Smart give you 18 points and 5 assists? Can Derek White knock down a couple threes? He went 0 for the other night. I think, you know, more than just the two stars in Boston, it really, really makes a difference when you have guys like Al, Marcus, and Derek White who step up. And if they don't get something from one of those guys tonight, then the Warriors are going to raise the Larry O'Brien trophy in Boston.
That'll be a stinger, certainly. But the Celtics, ahead of schedule, on schedule, even if it doesn't end in a championship this year, how would you at least put this team? I mean, Chris Middleton's around. Maybe they don't even advance past the second round.
Yeah.
I mean, it very quickly can change. But when you look at it in its totality, where are the Celtics, even with the loss here?
I would say on schedule. I mean, this is a group that Jaylen Brown's already been to 4 Eastern Conference Finals. Jason Tatum's been to 3. This is a group that has been there before, and they finally got over the hump. But at the same time, you kind of expect that from them because they, you know, experienced success so early on in their careers. You know, I think I've talked about it on the show before, but they have these guys under contract until 2025. That core group of Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Robert Williams, and Marcus Smart have all already signed contract extensions. So that core group isn't going anywhere. This offseason, they're going to have to figure out what they're going to do with Al Horford, what they're going to do with Grant Williams. I'd expect both of those guys to be coming back. But the most of this core is going to come back. So they should still be one of the favorites to win the East again next year. But at the same time, you know, like the point you just made, you know, if Chris Middleton plays in that series, who knows what happens? Obviously, the Nets are going to attract some free agents this offseason for people that want to play with KD and Kyrie. And I don't think they're even, you know, in that top four group of teams in the East. But they're obviously going to be back with a vengeance. The Heat aren't going anywhere. So, you know, the Eastern Conference isn't getting any easier. Right now, as we saw this season, the East was better than the West. So even though Boston feels like they might be atop of that group right now, it really is tough to automatically assume they're going to get back knowing they don't have the best player in the conference on their team. And we kind of saw this before, right, with, you know, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook with the Oklahoma City Thunder. They got to the NBA Finals and they never got back. So just because you have two extremely talented players like Jalen and Jason, it doesn't necessarily mean you're automatically going to get back there. So they have to try and capitalize.
Here's what worries me as far as wanting to see a game number 7, Kyle. The Warriors missed 31 threes the other night, which is just remarkable, right? I mean, Steph was 0-for-9, Wiggins was 0-for-6, Klay Thompson was 5-out-11. The other four starters, they missed all of their shots from behind three. They're not going to do that again. That's what worries me. Golden State, I mean, I'm not saying they'll hit half of those, but if they hit, I don't know, 30, 40% of them, 35% of them, that's a big hill for Boston to climb.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I feel like after game 4, the narrative-ish was kind of, well, it took the Warriors to have the best game of Steph Curry's playoff career to be able to win that game.
Yep.
But then, you know, they go out in game 5, and Steph had, like I said, one of the worst games of his playoff career, and they still found a way to win. So it is worrisome. I mean, you know, if Steph even hits a couple of those threes, that game gets out of hand a lot faster than it did the other night. And I don't think that you're going to see the greatest shooter of all time have another stinker like he did. I mean, I think I saw something. It had been like 3 years or 4 years since he had had a game where he didn't hit a single three. He had the longest playoff streak in NBA history by, I think, like triple the margin of the next player.
Wild.
For at least knocking down one three. So, you know, I think you're going to see Steph get his tonight, but more importantly for the Celtics, it's not allowing Jordan Poole to get his, not allowing Andrew Wiggins to go for 26-13, you know, keeping them off the glass. And, you know, that's kind of how you have to keep the series alive, even if Steph gets going.
Well, you know what the metrics are, and it's an NBA conversation. At some point, we got to bring up LeBron and the Lakers. An interesting offseason in front of them. Is there a better than zero chance, though, that LeBron is not getting his mail, at least with the Lakers organization next season? Could you see some kind of blockbuster happening where it's not LeBron starting next season in L.A.?
No, I honestly can't. Yeah. I just don't see it happening. I think right now, you know, there's the rumors around that LeBron isn't signing a contract extension and everything like that, but he's been very open about wanting to be able to kind of pick his destination by the time that his son Bronny comes into the league. So I don't really think that's anything to read into too much. LeBron's going to be in L.A. I mean, we saw him stick up for his guy Anthony Davis, who the other day said he hasn't picked up a basketball in, you know, 5 weeks or something like that. I really do think that they're just going to have to sit tight and figure that one out, even though it might not be pretty next season.
Interesting. Last thing for you. If indeed Golden State wins tonight, is this Steve Kerr's last game on the bench? What's his future? How much longer is he wanting to do this?
That is an interesting question that I have heard brought up before. You know, obviously he's had some health concerns and stuff like that. So I don't think it's completely impossible, but I also do kind of feel like, you know, he's going to try and play this out. In my opinion, I feel like he's going to try and play this out for as long as he can with Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. I think once that group kind of disperses a little bit, or, you know, they enter that latter stage of their career, I think that's where you could see Steve Kerr call it quits. But at the same time, you know, right now I feel like he realizes that they have a pretty good opportunity to keep this thing going even again next year. And, you know, maybe he is satisfied. I mean, the guy has, you know, I think it's 9 championships between coach, player, and between being a coach, an assistant coach, and a head coach and a player. So maybe he, you know, at 10 he calls it quits. I could see it, but at the same time, I really do think that they have something good going here where they can kind of keep this going, and I could see Steve Kerr kind of sticking around until Steph Curry at least enters that latter stage of his career.
We're going to be watching basketball on Sunday night.
I do think we are going to be watching basketball on Sunday night. It does feel that way.
Great stuff. And if we are, we'll recap it with you on Monday. Thank you for doing this. I appreciate it as always. Thank you, Kyle Irving.
Of course, Trent. Thanks, man.
Good to hear from you, Kyle Irving, as we catch up and talk a little NBA with Kyle.
Rising star in the
business. I think he is too. Yeah, he's good on the radio. Yeah, he's string sentences together very well. We'll take a timeout to see if Trent could string some winners together.
6-1 in the picks I've given out this week.
We've certainly been
4-1-2 yesterday, including those Pirates at plus money.
Did you have them yesterday?
Yeah. Flaherty coming back. Off the
That's
IO.
Right. That's one of your angles you like to play. Uh-huh. And did you see how many pitches he threw? He was going to throw 60 pitches right on the button.
He threw 60.
Yeah.
Right. No messing around. No 61 for you.
Nope. Not 59, not 61, 60, and you're out. I'm Miller and Condon, back with Trent's Plays of the Day. Circa Sports sponsors. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Des Moines homeowners have two questions. What's the best time to rent out my home? And what's the best way to do it? The best time is when you're moving, relocating, combining households, inheriting a house, or you just don't want to pay a mortgage anymore. The best way to rent? Hire Renter's Warehouse. Whether you have one home or a property portfolio, Renter's Warehouse does the work so you don't have to. They perfectly price your property so you don't have to. They find great tenants in just 17 days on average, so you don't have to. And for a small flat monthly fee, their professional landlords manage your property 24/7, so you don't have to. Collect the rent? You don't have to. Maintenance, inspections, and tax paperwork? You don't have to. There's no upfront fees, no binding contracts, and you can cancel at any time. Find out what your home will rent for by calling 515-528-4429 or go to renterswarehouse.com. That's renterswarehouse.com. Renter's Warehouse Des Moines. You can't buy happiness.
Iowa.com.
The biggest pro football overlays in Vegas are back with $12 million in guaranteed prizes only at Circa Sports. With two ways to win and no rake. Circa Million with quarterly payouts and 100% payback. And Circa Survivor. Select one team each week with no point spread. Take in the big money with $12 million in guaranteed prizes. Enter in Vegas. Play from anywhere. Visit CircaSports.com for details.
Welcome back. Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO, the leader The U.S. Open, currently, Rory McIlroy all by himself. Rory is minus 4 through 17. Will Zalatoris just drained one. He's now one under. So
your dude.
My dude. Let me down in that playoff against Justin Thomas. It was a heck of a run.
Yes.
It was quite a thrill. And I was in California, so I couldn't get off the bet.
That stinks.
Right? But it was fun.
Because you had a pretty nice ticket on that one, too.
Yeah, it was a good price.
And you just had to let it ride.
Let it ride. Couldn't do anything. Maybe California's got to be one of these years. One of these years.
Yeah, it's...
I think our friends at Circa are going to put a full court press on there to get one of those to California. All right, speaking of Circa, your plays of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to bet the NBA tonight? There's not a ton of games in baseball. There's a lot of day games today.
There is, yeah, a whole lot of day baseball. I got, I believe, three plays. Let me get back to my list here as I was bouncing around looking at that U.S. leaderboard and chasing some of my guys. Max Homa, one under as he wraps up
and
his
you got
round.
Him at what?
Circa, he was 53-1.
Jeez.
When I handed that one out, hopefully a couple people jumped aboard. And boy, if we get to Sunday, again, as you weren't able to,
mm-hmm.
the hedging opportunities.
That's right.
And that's what I got to figure out today, too. After the round ends, all right, who do not have any investment on? I don't have anything on Rory. I just didn't like the price.
You're too late.
So what's he going to be after today? 2-1?
I was going to say a little more than that. 4.5 maybe?
I probably got to take a taste.
Yeah.
At least have some kind of ticket. And this is kind of also the time. You don't want to wait till Saturday.
No.
Because then you're really deep into it. And then it's going to be, you know, if he's got a 2-3 shot lead,
unless
minus 110.
Unless you somehow fall on Justin Thomas.
Right.
In the PGA, who was a massive price.
And he had that ridiculous 62 to come roaring back. But that's kind of also another thing that I like about golf here. All right, what do I have covered? Mm-hmm. What am I feeling good about? Is there opportunities out there? And like I said, I don't have anything on Rory. I'm probably going to have to take a stab here this afternoon when things wrap up. For baseball today, I got three. Two of them are favorites. You know, I don't love it, but Padres.
Yeah. Matt Swarmer, last time we saw him, this was the dude that gave up 6 solo home runs to the Yankees.
Brutal.
Padres aren't the Yankees, but Swarmer was good for his first two starts, and then they figured him out.
And it's Musgrave on the bump for the Padres.
Precisely. What's the number?
Minus 170. I know it's a huge price. I looked at the minus 1.5. It's still minus 120 at that price.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to play it.
They scored 12 runs two nights ago. Last night, they scored 19.
Going back to the well with the Guardians. They have been hot. They have played really good baseball, and they're adding to the bankroll. Minus 130 today at Colorado in that getaway game. 210 first pitch. And then tonight, late night, it'll be the MLB Network game. Ohtani on the mound for the Angels. Give me Seattle, plus 110 against Ohtani and the Angels. Ohtani has been a little bit better his last couple of starts. Still not the guy that we saw, certainly through most of last season. And ultimately, yes, I am going to play the Celtics. Is this just me hoping that we get a game 7?
I'm really hoping you cash your ticket tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. So what are you going to play?
Minus, I'm going to lay the 3.5 because we've seen
it. What's the money line?
Oh, probably, what, minus 135, something like that.
Okay.
Have you seen the numbers, though, over the last 60 NBA games where the point spread has been 6 or less? NBA Finals games. The favorite. Or no, not the favorite. The team that won the game against the spread is 60-0-2.
Really?
6 points or less point spread, NBA Finals games. The team that wins, not just wins, covers every single time.
Holy mackerel.
Isn't that asinine?
That's huge.
So that's dating back, 10 years?
Yeah, that's a fluke. That's a fluke. For that many?
It would have to end tonight by Boston winning by 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
That's how it would come to an end. Let's hope that doesn't happen. Well, it can happen if we get a game 7, right?
On Sunday night, indeed we shall. Fingers crossed. I hope it's a good game.
Yeah.
You know, because we really haven't had that good game. Remember how pumped up we were first round of the playoffs?
We love the NBA in April.
It was great. And normally that's not the case. Mm-hmm. Normally they're cakewalks.
And we didn't even get a 7th game in those first round series.
They were good.
They were compelling games.
Right.
They were close games.
Yep.
They were interesting. We had a great third quarter in game 5. And then fourth quarter, Boston missed a bunch of shots and got away.
And Trent, I can't see. Here's where I think you're wrong, sadly, because I want game 7 too. I just don't think Steph's going to go over, and Wiggins is going to go over. And Draymond Green, he can't shoot, but may make one
right
from three. And he was involved in that game early, and I think that's the key to him. I don't know if Kerr went out of his way to make sure his teammates got him involved.
Well, it's the old Bill Cartwright thing the Bulls used to do. Like the first two possessions down the floor, they throw it down to Cartwright.
Yeah, give him a payoff.
Yep, let him do a fadeaway or a little hook shot. all right, he's got his touches. Now we don't have to worry about him anymore.
He's into the game.
Yep.
He feels like he's part of it.
Now he's going to rebound. Uh-huh. He's going to play defense of what he's really out there for. I think it's a good point, though. Kerr is such a great coach.
Yeah, he is.
It's almost like at times I feel like he's shortchanged. He's a wizard out there. We talked about the timeouts after the game.
Is it kind of like Jackson because of the players he's got around him? Because
probably got to be a part of it, right?
He's still got to coach those dudes and keep them together. Oh, man. Game six tonight. Fingers crossed there is indeed a game number seven. ABC has got it. 8:12, you said?
Yeah.
Tip-off is 8:12 tonight for that one. Cubs, they play at 1:20. Will they hold the Padres to single digits? After the last 2 days.
That's a heck of a prop.
Oh, my gosh. That's just brutal. All right. Here's what's coming up on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Murph and Andy will be here in an hour and 5 minutes. The Fanatics. And you're part of the Fanatics today?
Yeah, I'll be on at 3 o'clock with Ross.
Do you know who's doing tomorrow's show with Ross?
I don't. Do you?
Yes, I do. I think maybe we get a glimpse at the future. I'm certainly rooting for that. Sean Roberts is going to be with Ross Peterson on the Fanatics tomorrow. You today. And then, of course, Joe Stacy, Barnstormer Weekly tonight. Have a great day on Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.